Hi, everyone, and welcome to Focus Forward, an executive function podcast where we explore the challenges and celebrate the wins you'll experience as you change your life through working on improving your executive function skills. I'm your host, Hannah Choi. Have you heard the saying, research is me-search? It means people often explore topics they personally need or want to understand better. Well, that's exactly what today's episode is for me. I've had migraines since I was a teenager, and after being diagnosed with ADHD a couple of years ago, I started noticing how closely the two seem to be connected, especially when you throw anxiety in the mix. So things like missed meals, dehydration, poor sleep, either too little or too much, and stress can really trigger a migraine for me, and apparently Swiss cheese. But those same things also make it harder for me to manage my executive functioning. Maybe not the Swiss cheese, but the other stuff. And frustratingly, the way that my brain works because of ADHD makes me more likely to miss meals, forget to drink water, and stay up too late. It is a very annoying cycle. So additionally, when I'm in the middle of a migraine, my executive functioning really takes a hit. I struggle to make decisions, even something as simple as deciding to take my migraine medicine. I can't seem to use any metacognition to reflect on the fact that taking my meds has, in fact, helped me before. So now I'm in pain and can't use my EF skills. Ugh. Talk about task initiation challenges. It is super frustrating. And that got me thinking, is this just me or do others experience this? And also, is there more to this ADHD migraine connection? Conversations with clients, colleagues, and other people I know showed me that I'm not alone. It seems like many people who have ADHD also deal with migraines. I started researching to find out if there is a connection between the two, and it turns out there is. I connected with Dr. Sarah Cheyette to learn more. Dr. Cheyette is a pediatric neurologist who specializes in both ADHD and migraines. Dr. Cheyette graduated from Princeton University and received her medical degree at UCLA. Following specialty training in pediatrics at Cedars-Sinai in Los Angeles and in pediatric neurology at Seattle Children's, she practiced at Palo Alto Medical Foundation. And now she owns a private practice in Northern California. And today on the podcast, she brings her insight into how these two conditions overlap. In our conversation, we talk about what migraines are, why they happen, how they're triggered, and most importantly, what we can actually do about them, both to prevent them and treat them when we're having one. Dr. Cheyette shares strategies for tracking headaches, making small but meaningful lifestyle changes, and how to make sure you're doing the right things and taking the right meds to manage those debilitating headaches. Whether you live with both ADHD and migraines, or you're supporting someone who does, I hope you find this episode informative and validating. I sure did. I have shared some articles and research studies in the show notes for anyone who wants to take an even deeper dive after listening today. Let's get on with the show. Hey, Sarah. Thanks so much for joining me on Focus Forward today.
It's so nice to talk to you.
So today we are going to talk about two topics that are very close to my life. They're a big part of my life. And I know that there are other people out there like me. So migraines and ADHD. One thing that I found so interesting in that when I thought back to my own experience growing up, like I started having headaches really when I was very young. I wasn't diagnosed with migraines until I was in high school. And I know other people who also had headaches when they were young and now have migraines and also ended up with an ADHD diagnosis. And it's just so that got me interested. And so I started doing a little research about it. And I have found that there's no real definitive answer. Correct me if I'm wrong on the connection of why, but there have been some studies that have shown that, yeah, that a lot of people with migraines have ADHD and vice versa.
Exactly. So a lot of people who grow up with headaches don't have ADHD, but more than average, people with ADHD do have migraines and vice versa. Typically, migraines tend to hit women around the time of puberty, so around 12 or something like that, and kind of stay with them for years and years. Boys tend to get them earlier. They tend to get them in like the elementary school ages, but then they tend to outgrow them for for whatever reasons. But your experience is pretty typical.
Yeah. And the sort of I don't know if irony is the right word, the sort of the special torture, maybe we'll just go with torture, of having ADHD and struggling with executive function skills and then throwing migraines in there to absolutely wipe out any executive functioning that you may have had before you got the migraine.
Exactly. You may have been born with a tendency towards migraines. They may run in your family. That may just be you're somebody who tends to get headaches. But then having ADHD could make you actually have more headaches because the headaches, and when I say headaches and migraines, I'm using them pretty interchangeably right now. Migraines are the most common kinds of headaches. And they are triggered by things that happen in ADHD, such as stress, feeling kind of behind a lot. People with ADHD are not necessarily known for going to bed on time and getting enough sleep and getting deep enough sleep for a lot of reasons. Maybe regular meals plays a role in your headaches, and maybe eating irregularly is part of your ADHD. So the two can kind of worsen each other because also, if you have a headache, that throws off your ability to get your work done too. So it's kind of a vicious cycle.
This is very ADHD of me. I realized I just jumped right in. Maybe we should rewind a little bit in case there are any listeners who haven't had the special privilege of having a migraine. Could you explain to our listeners what a migraine is?
Sure. So a migraine, it's what's called a primary headache of the brain. It's not from a sinus infection. It's not from a brain tumor or a concussion. It can just happen. And what happens in a migraine is that there's a little area deep in your brain that sort of gets activated and winds up sending out pain signals to the nerves that come out of your brain and go to your head. That's what a migraine is. Sometimes those signals also go to your visual area, the back of your brain that processes vision. And those people might have visual symptoms during a migraine. Sometimes it triggers your vomiting center. So there's different symptoms that can happen in a migraine. But essentially, a migraine is your brain getting kind of ticked off at you. And it gets triggered by, like I said, a lot of different things. Lack of sleep is a really common trigger for migraines, not eating, not hydrating. Stress, all of those things are really common migraine triggers.
Yeah, I never really thought about that, how it is such a vicious cycle. Like the migraine can cause you to have executive function challenges, but your executive function challenges can also cause you to have a migraine.
That's
Yeah.
exactly it. A
Yeah.
migraine is a brain thing, and
Yeah.
certain areas of your brain may not be working well during a migraine. And then, if you take medicine for a migraine, that can further make you a little loopy or tired. It's really sometimes an all-day process for people to recover from a migraine, and you don't have all day to not have executive functioning.
Yeah. So let's talk about kids for a little bit. If there's a parent listening who has a child who has been having headaches, maybe their whole life or maybe recently, where should they start? What's a good place to start? What are some good questions to ask?
So
Signs to look for?
most parents will bring their child to their primary care doctor and sometimes get referred to neurology. But the essential question that the parents want answered is, why is my kid having headaches? What's the cause of that? Once everyone is reassured that the cause is nothing dangerous, you want to kind of check off the dangerous boxes, tumors, aneurysms, whatever, infections, then it's usually like, well, there's no clear cause for this. What could be contributing? Because headaches are nasty and you want to try to prevent them if possible. So when you're trying to prevent headaches, you're looking for what triggers them off on a particular day. Now, I think most doctors are well trained on asking about eating, sleeping, hydration, Great. And that may do it. But different doctors tend to treat headaches as compared to ADHD. So the doctor that you see for your headaches may not be somebody who has been thinking about ADHD and may not appreciate how the ADHD could contribute to your or your child's headaches.
Yeah, that was my experience. So is there the unicorn doctor? You? I mean, how many unicorn doctors are out there that are like,
Well,
yes, let's talk about both.
I'm in the Bay Area and I don't hear other doctors talking about, the combination. There's very few pediatric neurologists who treat ADHD. So I do feel like I'm a unicorn. To me, it's all a brain thing. And as a doctor, I feel like I need to be versed in both.
Yeah, and that is the another sort of like challenge that comes up. Like if you have ADHD and migraines and you're looking for a person to support you, then you have to use your executive function skills to do the research, to make the phone calls, to try out the doctors, to see who's going to be able to support you, all while possibly also having a migraine. Oh
Right,
yeah.
exactly. And, on the Psychology Today website, I wrote a blog about migraines and ADHD with my husband. But, when I was doing the research for writing the blog, and I've given some talks about this subject, I'm always surprised and shocked how very little research there is out there on the combination.
Okay, if we're talking about kids, their executive function skills are still developing because their brains are still developing. And if they have a diagnosis of ADHD, they're going to be additionally challenged. And if they have migraines, where are some good places to start? Like how what advice do you give to parents and kids to to manage both and to reduce the chance of having a migraine?
So, what I would say is that if you're having a lot of headaches, you want to try your best to document, keep a diary of them and see what's going on those days that could contribute to headaches. And then, think about your child as a whole person. If they're also struggling in school and you find out that the headaches happen on the days that there are tests or the days that lots of things are due, try to put that connection in there so that you are looking at all your child's feelings, activities, and habits and seeing how they contribute to the headaches. Then you can bring that information to your doctor. And so your doctor doesn't necessarily have to ask the questions. You've kind of done the legwork for them.
Are there any apps or anything that you can use for tracking that, or do you have any suggestions for how to do
Yeah,
that?
there are apps for managing headaches, but I really think that a big old calendar where you could see
That's
what
great.
days the headaches are happening and you can just kind of freeform what's going on probably is the best way to do it. I find that the apps tend to be sort of too structured, and a calendar where you can just kind of keep track of eating, sleeping, stress, what's going on that day, and what day of the week it tends to be. So, for example, a lot of people have headaches on Mondays, partly because they've been up Friday, Saturday, they sleep in. Then Monday, they can't sleep in, and there's all this stuff to face for the Monday. So, just being aware of what triggers your headaches would be a really good thing in terms of how to start solving how to prevent them. The prevention is really the part of treating headaches that I like the most. I mean, it's much better than have a headache, take a pill, have a headache, take a pill, have a headache, take a pill. You want to skip the headache if possible.
Yeah, that's so true. That tracking, that the whole idea of tracking it's interesting for me because I find it challenging to remember to track stuff.
You
But
are not alone,
I
you know.
figured.
And again, this is where the ADHD can kind of screw up the process. I don't have ADHD and I'm terrible about tracking things. I
That
just
makes me feel
really
better.
am. So, you know, the most you can do in terms of making it a team effort so that you have the best chance
That's a
of
good
doing
idea.
it would be good because, you know, short of getting a crystal ball out, otherwise, there's no way your doctor can really kind of get insight from this. If you don't have the insight from it, you know, from the information, how is anyone else going to do it? So it's not something you have to do for the rest of your life, but maybe you could try it for a week or a month, depending on how long you're or how frequently you're having the headaches.
That yeah, that's a good thing to remember. It's you don't have to do it for the rest of your
Oh
life.
no. Oh no.
So I actually got my so when I started taking ADHD medication, I started I tried non-stimulants first, and I started with Wellbutrin, which I know is not approved for children, but I did start with Wellbutrin, and I felt like I was getting more migraines than normal, and so I did get myself to track them, and I discovered that I had 7 migraines in a month when normally I would have one, maybe
Right.
two, and so then I was like, oh, it wasn't just a feeling, like I actually was. And then I switched to Strattera. I still get more than I would if I wasn't taking anything, but it's way less. Like I'll have two or three instead of seven or more.
Right, right.
So there's an
And
evident I not only did I manage to track it, but I saw the benefit of it.
Hannah, if you have headaches 4 times a year, that's not a question you're going to be able to really answer very
No,
well. But there are people who have headaches 4 times a week, and that is a question. So, you know, I have had kids who have gone to like super duper headache specialists, you know, headache clinic, blah, 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 big academic center. And those people who are really, you know, gung-ho for the headaches didn't ask about the ADHD. And sometimes they have fixed their headaches by treating their ADHD when like nothing else worked. And I would just say it's really important because, as you know, having a headache really reduces your quality of life. If you're a kid, it also reduces the quality of life for the whole family because if you're the parent, you've got to take care of your kid. There's Headaches are invisible too. So people are like, are you really that much in pain? And are you just trying to skip school or skip work or whatever? People get mad at each other because of the headaches. And it's really a difficult situation. So it really reduces quality of life for you know, many people involved. So if there's any way to reduce the headaches and take care of the ADHD together at the same time, that is fantabulous. You also mentioned an important point, which is that sometimes if you take a medicine for one thing, it can worsen something else. So your Wellbutrin worsened your headaches. Some ADHD medicines can worsen headaches, and there's no question about that. You take Adderall, you take Ritalin, you take whatever, including Strattera, and you can make your headaches worse. Sometimes that's a direct effect of the medicines. Sometimes it's from not sleeping, and then you get the headache the next day, or not eating, and then you get the headache because of that. So sometimes you can modify it and have the benefits of the headache med sorry, sometimes you can modify it and have the benefits of the ADHD medicine without getting headaches, but sometimes it's just a no-go.
Mine was, it felt like a switch was just like, you
Totally.
now get more migraines. And they were way worse.
Yep. And that is just sort of like, forget it. You know, let's try any other medicine for ADHD and see if it works better.
The part where you were talking about how people don't understand, like if they don't get it, if they don't get migraines and they don't understand how incapacitating they are, or they can be. Sometimes I can sort of semi-function through one if my medicine's not working or whatever. That just makes me think about how important it is for people who love and support people who have migraines to really understand that you might not be able to like actually know what the experience is like, but to know that they are not making it up. And then I want to say the same thing about ADHD, right? If
That's
you,
true.
yeah, like they're not like, trust us. Like we don't want to be, you know, lying on the floor and writhing in pain because that's all we can do in that moment. And we also don't want to like continually forget to call the dentist for,
Right.
you know, 2 weeks on end or whatever.
Right.
So, yeah. And then you've got
Yeah.
the combo of both.
It's tough for a lot of people, especially
Yeah.
if the headaches are frequent.
Is there one thing that you can do that would improve both or reduce the chance of your ADHD getting in the way and reduce the chance of getting a migraine? Like what are the like most beneficial healthy things that we can do?
So I would say that a healthy lifestyle is important for both ADHD and migraines. So, getting enough sleep is really crucial for both, and making sure that the sleep is good quality sleep. So if you're, not breathing right at nighttime, like with sleep apnea, that's not good quality sleep. So sleep is super important. Exercise is very helpful for both. And, eating reasonably well. It doesn't mean you have to be a paragon of nutrition, but eating something in the morning before school is good for your brain or before work. So those types of things are like very cornerstone for trying to, reduce both headaches and ADHD symptoms. Paying attention to your emotional state is also important for both. People with migraines and people with ADHD both have a higher chance of anxiety and depression. And of course, it can spiral, right? So when you're anxious or depressed, it's harder to focus. And if you're prone to headaches, it also makes you more likely to have a headache, which make it harder to focus again, right?
Yes.
So that kind of horrible spiral is really common. And it's hard to know exactly where to intervene, but the important thing is to intervene. And so, any of those lifestyle issues or supports are really good. However, I'm saying that potentially to somebody who has a hard time putting that into practice because of the ADHD and/or the frequent headaches. So I know it's easier said than done, but if it's able to be done, that's something that would be great. So you don't have to change your entire life 180 degrees, but if you're getting 6 hours of sleep, maybe you could try for seven. If you're getting seven, maybe you should try for eight. Just a little bit more could make a big difference. That's 7 hours more sleep per week if you increase by just 1 hour. So, like I said, with the eating breakfast in the morning, it doesn't have to be eggs and bacon and, French toast and all that stuff. You could grab a granola bar or some nuts or something. Something's better than nothing. So, trying to make small changes and then giving yourself credit. Hey, look what I did. Good for me. That celebration of what you do is really important too.
And noticing if it is making a difference.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I like how you said, you know, you don't have to completely overhaul it or however you phrased it, because I feel like there's so much pressure to just do everything perfectly. You know, there's all these, you see these things, hack this and hack that, so you can just, oh, it'll just be easy from now on, and you'll just be amazing at this every time, and you'll cure and solve all your
Absolutely.
problems. And it's so unrealistic. It just sets
Ex
us up for disappointment in ourselves.
you know, not everything can be changed in 2 minutes, like on YouTube or on a TikTok.
I guess this supports, I mean, we can take a trip back to what we were talking about before. This supports the idea of tracking and of, you know, noticing all these changes. And I'll give you a personal example. So diet, like I sleep fairly well, and that usually the only actually if I sleep too much is when I get a migraine.
Oh, that
So
happens to people. It's really irritating. Like the people who they go through all their exams and all their pressure time, and then they go sleep in and on Hawaii beach, and they're like, ah,
Guaranteed
Terrible.
headache.
Migraines like regular mostly.
So, but one thing that I decided was to pay attention to food. And I remembered that when I was a kid, Swiss cheese used to give me a headache, not a migraine, but it would just give me a headache. And so I thought, huh, I wonder if that's triggering migraines, because I was getting some migraines just randomly out of nowhere and I couldn't tie them back to anything. And so I decided to pay attention. And lo and behold, it's the Swiss cheese.
Yeah.
What a random thing. And if I hadn't have noticed that and tracked it, I suppose you could call it tracking. I wasn't really tracking it, but just paying attention to it. So if anybody's listening, that metacognitive thinking, those metacognitive thinking skills, really paying attention to how your own brain works, what you need, what you don't need, and figuring out what works and doesn't work. It's so worthwhile. Because now I just, unfortunately, I love Swiss cheese, but I have to avoid it because it will give me a headache.
I'm thrilled that you found your trigger, but as a doctor, I can't necessarily tell the next person to avoid cheese because that may not be their thing. So for individuals with headaches, tracking the foods is great. Now, most people get headaches when they don't eat often enough. Like getting hungry is a no-no if you are having headaches. So that's like
Absolutely.
the first and most important layer. But then if you're like really going gangbusters on your tracking, then look for particular food triggers. You might find them, you might not.
Great. Let's see. Oh, something else I wanted to ask is if you have any ideas about, I guess, managing executive dysfunction when you have a migraine, and then afterwards, because like I notice my brain, I always say my brain feels broken after I have a migraine, during for sure, but then after too. And then it's just so frustrating. I feel like another thing people can't understand. So can you talk a little bit about how they
Yeah.
impact our executive functioning?
So migraines affect your brain. They are a brain disorder. As a matter of fact, for some people, when they have migraines, if they're like in a study and the study has electrodes on their head, those electrodes will just go flat during a migraine or during portions of a migraine. It just, your brain is not functioning during that time. And it takes a while for people to recover from that. And so, when you add on the medicines that you might have also taken that could have affected your brain function, there's a time when you're really probably not able to concentrate on your day-to-day life and your planning and your organization, which might be especially difficult for you anyways in your ADHD. So, what I would say right now is the important thing is that you need to think about two things. One is prevention of the migraines so that this doesn't happen very often. And so that is really important. The next thing you might want to also think about is sort of automatic systems in place for your ADHD. So that's where like you remembering something may not happen on the day of your migraine, but if your calendar is sending you automatic notifications, then you have a higher chance of at least getting the thing into your brain.
I love that. For me, I notice like I can't even decide if I should get up and get my medicine, which is like the weirdest thing. So now I know I don't even let myself get to that point. I just take it earlier.
Right. You just
Which requires attention. You have to pay attention to your body and notice like, hey, I'm getting a migraine.
absolutely. And people's first instinct is to say, maybe it won't be so bad. Maybe I
Oh,
won't take my
yes.
medicine. But
No.
you also need the executive function to have your medicine in the place that you need it for taking it. So, like, you have to have called the pharmacy or put it in your car or whatever you needed so that it was where it was when you needed it, so to speak.
Yes.
And so, there's a lot of aspects of the ADHD that could make that process go awry.
I mean, that's so much of what I work with on with my coaching clients, as many of them take meds, is figuring out like how are you going to make sure that you have your meds, set up in such a way that is, going to they're going to be there for you when you need them. So like I have one client who when we're done meeting, she goes and sets up her meds for the week. Like she's paired it with our session. So yeah, that's such a good point to bring up. It's so important to keep all that. Yeah, I made this like little migraine kit that I keep in my purse, and I never used to do that. So then if we were ever out, I wouldn't have it on me, and then I'd just be out of luck.
Right. And as you know, with migraines, treating them early is such an important part of
Really
treating them
is.
that, you can't be futzing around.
Yeah. And another, so I guess like another executive function skill to really make sure that you're using is attention and metacognition. Really paying attention, that self-awareness, paying attention to yourself, to paying attention to your experience, and then metacognition. Like, why are you setting yourself up for success? And noticing, hey, I think I'm getting a migraine, instead of just sort of like, I don't know about, I've heard lots of people with ADHD say, like, I don't even notice that I had to go to the bathroom, or I didn't even notice that I was hungry. So to
Right.
notice, like, oh, I can start to feel it.
Right, exactly. And those trigger the migraines right
Yeah.
there. So,
So thinking about resources for people and where sort of next steps for people, before you mentioned they could start with your primary care physician. What about neurologists? I mean, when is it better to see a neurologist over your primary care?
it really kind of depends on what's available in your area and how comfortable your primary care doctor is with the headaches. It also depends on how often and how terrible your headaches are.
That makes
So
sense.
you may need to see a neurologist if you're not able to manage them with your primary care doctor. But the way everything is set up, most people start with their primary care doctors.
Right. Something that I learned recently that I wanted to share is, so I was diagnosed with migraines by a neurologist when I was 20. He diagnosed me, and so I started taking the triptan drug. So this was back in like 1998, I guess, 98 or 97. And so I just kept on taking triptan drugs until a year ago, and they would sometimes work, sometimes didn't. I always had a really bad sort of medicine hangover afterwards. I felt awful. Sometimes I would choose to have a migraine over taking the meds. And then my doctor said to me, "Ah, you should have told me. You don't have to have side effects. You can try different medication. You don't have to, that isn't all there is now. So if you've been taking the same medicine for a long time, or if you try something and it doesn't work, tell your doctor."
Absolutely. There's a lot of different kinds of triptan medicines, and one works for somebody and doesn't work for another person, and one gives side effects for somebody and is the other person's absolutely happy pill. So,
And then like mine worked for didn't work for years. I switched to another one. Then that worked, and then it's then I got too many side effects, so I switched to another one. And then I found out about a different, like a non-triptan drug, which
Right.
has
So
been
in
the
the
game
past few
changer.
years, they have
Yeah.
had the triptans were sort of the first revolution in migraine treatment and kept people from being in dark rooms for 3 days at once. Amazing. And then there are the CGRP inhibitors and all, there's this whole new class of medicines, both for preventing and treating migraines. So, that's something that your primary care doctor may or may not be versed in those brand new ones. You may not need those brand new ones, but if you do, you may be going to a neurologist.
Yeah, I really, if anybody's listening and they're not happy with their meds, please ask, because it was an absolute game changer for me.
Yeah.
Now I used to have anxiety about whether I should take my medicine or not. Now I'm just like, oh, getting a migraine, and I just take it, and I feel so
Absolutely.
much better about it.
Absolutely. And so, that makes a huge difference in effectiveness too, because if
Yeah.
you're delay taking it because you don't want to take it, or if you're like all worked up because it's going to make
Yes.
you
Yes, that was
knocked
my
out for a day,
story.
then,
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm really glad you found something that works.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Yeah. All right. So if anyone wants to learn more about you and what you do,
I think the best way to find me is on my website, which is my name, sarahcheyette.com, sarahcheyette.com. There's a way to contact me and information about me. And I've written some books about ADHD, and I've written a book about headaches too. So, hopefully it's all there for you.
Yeah, check out Sarah's website. She's got a lot of really great resources on there. And I love how you have clips of YouTube videos, and it's very informative.
Oh, well,
Stuff
thank
with
you very much.
it. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much, Sarah. I'm so glad we finally got to make this happen. And it was really nice to, I don't know, it sounds weird to say it was nice to talk about migraines, but it was validating. It was validating. So
Well, I'm glad it could be helpful or validating. I know it was fun for me.
And that's our show for today. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to listen. My takeaway from today's episode is that as frustrating and sometimes mysterious as migraines can be, there are real and helpful actions that we can take that can help minimize the impact of migraines on our lives. Of course, struggling with your executive function skills can make migraines worse and make it feel impossible to do the things that we actually need to do to minimize the number of migraines we have, but putting some true effort into making some small changes can really help. And as always, this podcast is just a first stop. So we can't fix your migraines. Please, please go see a doctor if you haven't yet to get some help. You really, really, really don't need to suffer. I love to hear from you, so please reach out to me at podcast@beyondbooksmart.com. Our MAP motivation and productivity program is taking off, and our mappers, as we affectionately call them, are loving our morning accountability planning sessions, skill building workshops, and live work sprints for getting stuff done. They're super popular, and people are really actually getting a lot of stuff done. Please visit the MAP website at map.worksmartcoaching.com and sign up for our free 7-day trial. Come join the fun. And thank you so much for helping us spread the word about executive function skills. And we appreciate you sharing Focus Forward with your friends and colleagues. Word of mouth does keep us on the air, and we appreciate it so much. And a million billion thanks to Sean Potts, our editor and producer, who is full of good ideas all the time. And Wendy Craven, one of our amazing outreach